This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. A new citizen-led commission will investigate North Carolina's possible role in CIA extraordinary rendition flights. Aero Contractors is a private aviation company that operates out of Johnston County Airport. It is at the center of the commission's investigation. Aero Contractors allegedly picked up terrorism suspects and flew them to CIA-run black sites around the world, this in the wake of 9/11. The CIA ran secret prisons and interrogation centers at those sites. Jennifer Daskal is co-chair of the North Carolina Commission of Inquiry on Torture. She is also a former counsel to the Assistant Attorney General for National Security at the U.S. Department of Justice, and she teaches law at American University in Washington. Jennifer Daskal, welcome to the State of Things.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us more about the purpose of this commission.
Sure. The purpose of this commission is to shine a spotlight on the abuses that took place starting in 2002 in the wake of the September 11th attacks. The United States' unfortunate experiment with torture, and ideally to do so in a way that reminds everyone of the negative consequences of these programs and hopefully to prevent them from ever happening again.
You are co-chair of this commission. Give us an idea of who else is involved.
There are 11 commissioners, cross-cutting from a bipartisan group of commissioners, representatives from the military, from individuals who have been in high level of government, a number of religious leaders largely from North Carolina, but also from across the country as well.
The North Carolina connection here is Aero Contractors operating out of Johnston County Airport. Tell us more about Aero Contractors and their involvement in the CIA's rendition campaign.
Sure. So Aero Contractors was involved in, they received a contract from the CIA and as has been reported in a number of different reports, a report issued by the Council of Europe and reporting by the New York Times and the Washington Post, among others, they were involved in transporting detainees to these black sites. And these were sites where detainees were held incommunicado. They were denied access to the International Committee of the Red Cross, which ordinarily has access to detainees in armed conflict in order to help ensure humane treatment, and they were tortured and abused. An Aero Contractor was involved in, it appears, at approximately 30-some flights of detainees to these black sites.
And, of course, the black sites themselves in foreign countries where the U.S. were essentially outside of the jurisdiction of U.S. law.
That's exactly right. The program was ultimately ended in 2006 after the Supreme Court ruled contrary to what the Bush administration had claimed that the basic laws of war, the humane treatment requirements of the Geneva Conventions applied. And at that point, it became fairly evident that the United States could no longer continue to maintain these black sites, these incommunicado detention centers where people were tortured and abused without running afoul of what the law that the Supreme Court said applied, and the sites were closed. The remaining detainees were then transferred to Guantanamo, where at least their detention was acknowledged.
And so as you point out, this was a program of the CIA authorized by the President of the United States at the time, and while Aero Contractors and Johnston County Airport are part of this, why focus, why bring this commission to the state of North Carolina?
So there have been some efforts and accountability since the program was ended. Most importantly, there was a really comprehensive report issued out of the Senate Intelligence Committee, the executive summary of which has been released in a redacted form that outlines the role of the CIA and the lack of actionable intelligence that came from the use of torture. There have, however, not been any individuals that have been held personally accountable for their role. There was one special independent prosecutor that was appointed, and he ultimately recommended against prosecutions primarily because the Bush administration had obtained legal opinions from the Justice Department that purported to authorize the use of these types of techniques. And there have been numerous lawsuits filed, all of which, except for one that still remains pending, have been dismissed for a variety of grounds, including assertion by the government of what's known as state secrets, that they can't defend these suits without revealing sensitive military or intelligence information. So given all of this, we felt that it's critically important to shine a spotlight on what's happened, and particularly to shine a spotlight on the role of the private contractors that were involved, and in this case, the private contractors that were involved in North Carolina. When Aero Contractors' role first was disclosed, there were a number of concerned individuals and people of faith who organized, who met with officials. There was a bill, a North Carolina No Torture Act, that was pending for some time, but it never went anywhere. And so we feel that it's critically important that this does not get forgotten, that people are aware of what's happened, and even more important, given the current political climate in which we have a president who has talked about an interest in restarting these kinds of programs and reinitiating torture, although I would also note that the generals in his administration, in particular General Mattis, who heads the Department of Defense, has basically told the president, and the president has agreed, that this would be a terrible idea for a range of national security reasons.
Well, you talked about the legal cases and the fact that a lot of people knew, and that there were some protests here in North Carolina about what was going on with Aero Contractors. And the other part of this is that everybody in the area seemed to know, and it was a kind of an open secret. And I would think that part of your investigation and part of what's going on now is to allow people to tell what they knew that was going on. And the reason it was able to go on for so long is because people simply weren't coming forward telling what they knew. Am I right about that?
Right. I think that's absolutely right. For the story to get out, to be part of the public record, for there to be transparency as much as possible as to what's happened, and ideally to help ensure that this never happens again.
You're going to be hosting public hearings to look into these reports and the CIA connections as well. So tell us about the hearings. How will they be structured? Who's taking part?
So there will be public hearings next fall over a course of 2 days, and there will be a number of experts, including and residents from the area, who will be invited to come and testify about what they knew, about the effects of the program, about how it operated. And the goal there, again, is to gather as much information as possible. And after these hearings, the commission will ultimately produce a report, a public report as well.
Are there similar commissions that are operating in different parts of the country where, again, similar activities were taking place?
No, North Carolina is really is playing a leading role here. This commission is the first of its kind, the first state-based commission of its kind, and so it's really, I think, exciting to be part of and a model going forward.
Is this, again, tell me more about what might happen to this report. You're going to put together a report after you take this testimony. What do you expect to do with it?
Again, the goal of this is to bring attention to the issue, to make sure that what happened isn't forgotten, to allow people to tell their stories, and to remind both the citizens of North Carolina and the rest of the country of the very negative consequences of this program and the dangers of ever trying to reinitiate anything close to a torture program going forward. And not just the moral and the human costs of the program, but as I said earlier, any effort to reinitiate such a program would have terrible national security consequences on a number of different levels. First, just the willingness of key partners that are essential in the fight against terrorism, from sharing information with the United States, from being willing to transfer detainees to the United States. Costs in terms of long-term disposition options for those who really should be incapacitated long-term. When the U.S. engages in torture, it becomes a lot harder to prosecute them for good reason. And third, just the cost to the individuals who were involved. As I said, at the time that this happened, the Bush administration was able to secure a legal opinion that purported to justify these actions. Those opinions have been thoroughly discredited, and it would be, I think, pretty unlikely that future individuals that might be involved in such actions would be protected from criminal liability in the ways that those were in the past.
It seems important to shine a light on those individuals who are involved, particularly when we're coming to understand that this was indeed criminal activity. And again, it gets obscured in so many ways. It's an open secret, but nobody wants to talk about it. We call it extraordinary rendition. It is kidnapping. So there's a lot of ways in which all of this is disguised. But what about the population itself? Because we know after horrific events, particularly when crimes have been committed in the name of the state, you know, local populations end up feeling enormous guilt because they knew what was going on and didn't come forward. It seems to me this is a way in which people can come forward now and talk a little bit about what they knew and create a model for that kind of thing so that we don't have the sort of conditions we had around Auschwitz and other places where people claim not to have known what was going on.
I think that's right. It's a chance for public accountability, perhaps some form of public healing as well, and as I've said repeatedly, a chance to remind individuals and the public about both in North Carolina and elsewhere about what happened in the hopes that it never happens again.
Jennifer Daskal, co-chair of the new North Carolina Commission of Inquiry on Torture, also a former counsel at the U.S. Department of Justice. Jennifer, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Just ahead, we're going to take you on a driving tour back in time. Historian Jennifer Ritterhouse's new book, Discovering the South, One Man's Travel Through a Changing America in the 1930s, takes a look at a travel book written then and puts it in a new context. We'll talk all about it on The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.